This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. Mask of Guilt, Mask of Illumination, Book 1 is out. We all wear masks, some of us to hide our guilt. Lady Fenari, lost in the malaise of depression, finds purpose with a group of all-women thieves, the Crack Gems. Intrigue, romance, betrayal, and adventure swirls around her in this epic fantasy tale. Today, I'm joined by Isra Stravenhart. She is the author of the Dark Spell series.
How are you doing today, Isra?
Not too bad, just really, really hot.
Yeah, we went through the heat wave a month ago. Mm-hmm. It got really terribly hot here.
It's 21 Celsius right now, and it's 9 o'clock at night.
Yep, and I'm actually
like happy to see the rain back. Apparently, the rain is supposed to be here tonight.
Yeah, I live in Western Washington. We kind of have the same weather as England.
Yeah.
Where it shouldn't really get that hot.
No.
So no one has AC, so it sucks when it does.
You see, my fan, you can put water in it and it basically distributes cold air like an air conditioner, just without the whole fancy ass of installing an air conditioner, because it's kind of a myth that people in the UK have air conditioning, because not many of us have the ability to do that. But obviously in America, it's kind of a standard thing for you guys.
Well, not where I live. There definitely are places in America where you need it, because the average temperature is over 100 degrees Fahrenheit here.
In the UK, we just do not have it.
Yeah.
So I've made a little investment here, because this thing, literally, you fill it up with like ordinary water from the tap, and it's distributing cold air on me right now.
Yeah, well, that's how water works. It absorbs heat.
Yeah.
And then it evaporates, and so it draws heat out of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the ancient Egyptians used to put jugs of water on their roofs.
Oh,
and
cool.
And it would overnight, and it would draw the heat out of the house just by having jugs of water on their roof. But anyways, I always like to start these interviews out with a fun question or two.
Okay.
And Isra, are you a cat person or a dog person?
I am definitely cats. I've got four of them.
All right. Four cats.
Four cats. Two of them are, we've got the eldest, that is Faith. She is 10 years old. We've had some problems with her lately. We've got her two grown-up kids, AJ and Ebony. They are 9 years old, respectively. And then we've got our little outsider that is 4 years old, and that is Maleficent. But three of them are obviously related.
Yeah.
So as to whether I'll be having any more, probably not. I'm trying to get Maleficent spayed. We're having some issues with that right now, because she's basically a cat that I rescued from a very early age. I actually bought her through Facebook, and the guy just literally wanted money for her. And, you know, when I actually got her, and the first night she was with me, I realized she wasn't 6-7 weeks like I had been told. She was closer to about 3 or 4.
Okay.
And, you know, because obviously she was so tiny, when she exposed her belly to me, I noticed she was covered in cigarette burns. So we are dealing with a cat that is very traumatized. If you raise your hand too high to her, she thinks that you're going to hit her. And so she can get quite aggressive. And basically, the obstacle at the moment is getting her in the cat carrier, because she fears the carrier.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, my mom got a dog, and I came over this, I think I was like 22 or something, came over to her house, and the dog flipped out, because like I was a tall guy, and it was not comfortable with it. Like if I crouched down, like it was fine, but if I stood over her, she freaked out. Like Yeah. She was like Maleficent, a rescue dog. So
Maleficent will freak out. She doesn't particularly like the postman at the moment. Whenever she hears the post coming through the door, she immediately runs to the door and starts hissing and growling.
Oh, wow.
Like it's probably not that amusing for the postman, but she just goes absolutely mental. And I've had cats since I was 4 years old. I'm now 32, and I've literally never seen a cat do that ever.
Yeah, I used to deliver pizzas, and I usually just ignored the pets.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like the big dogs tend not to be a threat. It's the little dogs that bite you, but they don't hurt. They can't like do anything. So you'll just get maybe a bruise. But yeah, I got bit like 5 times and I was always by a little dog.
Wow.
Yeah, because they just run up and like bite your ankle, you know. And,
yeah.
But yeah. But never had a cat. Never had a cat do that to me.
Sometimes I actually wonder if Maleficent is a cat or a dog, because she's actually got a lot of dog qualities. Like she will actually, if you throw a ball to her, she will actually bring it back.
What?
Yes.
Okay. So Isra, we should probably talk about your books and stuff, since that's why we're here.
Yeah.
This isn't Cat Fancy Podcast, although it's fun. But so how long have you wanted to be an author, Isra?
I've been interested in writing all my life. I was probably like getting involved in writing like short story ideas probably from the age of like, I don't know, 8 or 9. But obviously I get bored easily.
Okay.
So
I understand that.
It wasn't until I started the Dark Spell series, which at the time I didn't even know it was going to be a series. I didn't even know it was going to be a book. I didn't know any of it. I just randomly started it one night in 2013.
Okay.
Because it's a very interesting story. But basically, I had a guy that basically we were kind of dating. But there was no kind of, how can I put it? There was no kind of exclusiveness there. It was just kind of between me and that guy. And basically he slowly began to ghost me, and you know, I moved to the same area as him. We'd been talking about it for months and months, and then suddenly I was completely cut off.
Okay. So
I began writing this thing one rainy night in September 2013. Didn't know what the hell it was, and it turned into Her Dark Soul. And literally at the time, I can't even remember, you know, what had inspired me. I think I was just writing out my feelings, to be honest. And before I knew it, I had about 3 or 4 chapters done, and I was like, okay. Like I said, did not plan it at all. I never really plan anything, to be fair.
All right.
I am not that type of person. I've also got fibromyalgia, endometriosis, among others. So I can't actually plan anything as a rule anyway. But yeah, I had no idea it was going to turn into an 8-book series, which is pretty much, it's almost there. I'm 3/4 of the way through book 6 at the moment. I've been doing it every night that I possibly can. Difficult with pain and heat wave and things, because they all kind of interact with each other and make friends. But book 8 is with my editor. My editor is almost finished with it as well. So potentially it could be a complete series, maybe by Christmas 2021, possibly early 2022. I mean, I'm not 100%, you know, I can't really give an actual timeline because I honestly don't know, but it's slowly taking shape and all the puzzle pieces are connecting together.
Yeah, I do understand that. I'm in the middle of a 12-book series and I kind of didn't know how it would end. I mean, I had like a vague idea, but I didn't even know it was going to be 12 books. I just knew it was going to be long.
Yeah,
but I got to the point like where I could decide how long it would be, because I'm in the midpoint and I kind of like, what do I need left to do? And like what, how many books should that take and stuff like that. So anyways, tell us about the series. Like, what is it about? Like,
so basically the nutshell of it, well, kind of the main plot line, if you will, it's about Isra, who is a witch. She used to be on the light side. She's turned to the dark side and she's really gone. She's gone all the way. I mean, I originally called it her blackened soul because that's how far it went. But, you know, after recent rethinking, I've did a bit of rebranding, if you will. I've had 5 brand new covers done. I've changed some of the titles. So basically the titles where it was blackened in the name, I've just simply changed them to dark. So it's a very subtle but simple change. But it kind of reflects from where I've evolved with the writing, because obviously I started in 2013 and a lot can happen in 8 years.
Yep.
And basically what I did is I wrote books 1, 2, and 3. So Her Dark Soul, Her Dark Heart, Her Dark Rose. And then I realized there was such an eccentric history between the 4 main characters. So we're talking about Isra, the witch. We're talking about Astrid, the raven. There's more to him than meets the eye.
Okay.
We're talking about Samuel, the Lightbringer. And we're talking about Everilda, which is Isra's ex-best friend.
Okay.
And I realized, like, holy crap, there is so much going on here. We need to tell this story. So in a sense, I did a George Lucas because we went back in time. I wrote her Dark Love in 2018, and then it went on to Kissing Darkness in 2019, which is my absolute favorite of the entire series. I will talk about that book until no tomorrow. Most people talk about book 1. I'm invested in book 5, which is Kissing Darkness. It was my favorite to write because it was so fast paced. There was so much going on. And it just kind of flowed. And now we're at the kind of the precipice, if you will, where, you know, we're reeling from the events in Kissing Darkness. So I'm not going to give too much away, but it's kind of setting the scene for book 7 and book 8. So basically what's happening here is book 3, 5, 6, and 7 all tie in to number 8, which will follow Her Dark Rose and go back to present day.
Okay.
But they're all kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? They're all kind of correlating with one another.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's kind of aspects from Kissing Darkness that will appear in book 8, book 6, book 3, etc. And all of those 4, for some reason, I don't even know how this happened. They just all kind of tie in. And I think it's, it is basically a George Lucas, what I did, because I never, ever saw it coming. I just thought to myself, I'm going to do book 1, 2, and 3. Well, after I started book 2, because I started book 2 in the summer of 2015. And then I realized, hang on a minute, this is kind of turning into a series here.
Yeah.
You know, and I just kind of went along with it. You know, I didn't sit there and orchestrate this overnight. It just happened as it happened. And now that we've gone with books 4 and 5, which are Her Dark Love and Kissing Darkness respectively, now that's where it's properly evolving into an actual series. Because now everything is, you know, the scenes are set, the characters are on the world stage, so to speak, and everything is kind of just playing out now.
Yeah.
So I have a vague idea of how I know how book 6 will end. I've got no idea how book 7 is going to end. I've literally got to admit, I haven't even started that yet. I do know the title. I do know the basic outline of it, but I've not really sat down and done that yet. Because I basically do one at a time.
Gotcha.
With my fibromyalgia, it can cause like short-term, long-term memory issues.
Oh.
So I basically take my time with it, and you know, do one at a time, and then once I've done one, I'll go on to the next one, etc. And yeah, I just basically, you know, go with the flow with it. I literally never know. I mean, after book 8, there could be a book 9. I've got no idea.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Isra, right? Your witch?
So
she goes bad in the beginning, right? Is that like we know that from the start, or is the story like?
Yeah, she goes bad in like when we meet her in her dark soul, she's already turned over to the dark side, but we have a fair idea of why she's gone over there.
Okay.
And over time, we're learning more and more about her, what makes her tick, what she likes, what she doesn't like. She's got a particular aversion to humans, and we're going to find out why at a later stage.
Okay.
But the beauty of me doing the prequels, if you will, is we get to explore her going dark.
Sure.
So I've kind of covered all the angles, if you will. But when we start in book 1, Her Dark Soul, we don't really know everything just yet. But there is a lot going on in that book alone that will lead on to number 2 and, you know, obviously the ones that are earlier. But at the beginning, it's kind of slow. You know, the reader isn't really going to know why she is that way, other than the basic lost love, betrayal. And then when we go in the books back in time, that's when you're going to get the full story. But things are going to be slowly, slowly revealed. So I would say we're probably going to learn the most lingering on from her dark heart. Obviously, the clue is in the title there. A very clever little thing I did.
Yeah.
And her dark rose, because that for me, when I was writing that one, I think that was the moment that I realized, like, oh, wow, you know,
yeah,
that is where I kind of pushed it to its limits, because okay, what we did in Her Dark Rose is we basically gave Isra a taste of her own medicine. So I'm kind of showing things from the villain's perspective, but I'm also showing things that it doesn't always go the villain's way, and we're going to see that in Her Dark Rose.
Okay. So she's kind of it's not an anti-hero, it's an anti-villain, where the villain is the main character of this story.
Yeah. Okay. I do focus heavily on the villains, because Isra is not the only villain. There are going to be one or two surprises, because some of them, you might look at them and think, oh, they're all sweet and sunshine. And
what do you think it takes to write a compelling villain?
Sorry?
What do you think it takes to write a compelling villain?
I like to go into their reasonings of why they are that way. You know, they have to have a good reason. They can't just be bad for the sake of it. There's always got to be some kind of event that triggers it. You know, there's always got to be really good reasons.
Sure.
We can't just have a villain that is a villain for the sake of being a villain, you know. There's got to be some substance behind it. There's got to be a backstory. And there's got to be, you know, events in their own life that led to that being the case. Because, you know, nobody actually starts out that way.
Yes.
Everybody has their own darkness within themselves. A lot of people can probably relate to this. People have situations that changes their life, and sometimes not for the better. And, you know, this is where I'm going with Isra, because she's had a lot of stuff in her life that has kind of made her just turn around and say, I'm just done with all this crap.
Okay.
So it's a very unique look at the villain's perspective, but we're not glorifying her being a villain, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, she does things, but there are reasons.
All right. So where can our listeners find you on the internet, Isra?
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. I don't know what the hell that thing does.
It's for professionals. I don't think it's much good for writers, but yeah.
No, I mean, I do have a few connections on there. I just don't understand what the hell it is. TikTok, I've actually been doing a lot on TikTok. I might be slightly addicted. There's the Amazon page. There's Goodreads, BookBub. I'm probably missing one, but I honestly can't think of it. Okay. The link tree that I sent you prior to this meeting is probably the best way of finding all that stuff out.
All right.
Because somebody actually introduced me to that, because I didn't know what the hell that was either. I wouldn't necessarily call myself a technophobe, but there's a lot of, you know, newfangled stuff that I just don't know what the hell it does.
Fair enough. Well, it was really great talking with you, Ezra.
And you.
All right. I hope you have a good evening. I hope things cool down there in England for you.
Hopefully.
You have a good one.
And you.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.